Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. Be them challenges or just recognizing the blessings that come our way as a result of this relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we do here. We give away what we've been given. We're definitely not perfect, at least I can say that for myself. The guy who's across the table from me, who has his headphones kind of cockeyed, just woke up from a little nap. You know you're going to reply to that. You know you're going to respond to that.
No.
You recognize that voice? That's Felix, who's in the house today. Good to have you, bro.
Glad to be here.
Are you?
Yeah.
Remember we had those guys that listened in at? One time they sent us an email from New Zealand, I think it was, or something like that.
Yeah, this probably, anyway. And you know there's Russians listening.
Okay, well, I can't speak Russian, so I can't say anything about that. Anyway, oh my goodness, you just cut off some people who wanted to listen who might. Anyway, whatever. So yeah. We have a topic today that it's on motivation.
Yes.
Now, a lot of times, guys, we think about that topic of being motivated. We think of speakers that we go to motivate us, to get us stirred up and to get going. If you were in team sports in school of any sort, you know that the coaches try to motivate you to get you going. And in some cases, they even let some of the other players who are really motivators to get you all jazzed up. We watch sports on TV. You see the guys on the sideline sometimes. Other players, getting the other players, their teammates, motivated to get ready for what is about to take place. And that's something that sometimes we seem to lack in our walk. Maybe not ourselves, but maybe we don't receive it. Or maybe we don't hang around it because we think that's really crazy and weird.
Or maybe we're motivated to the wrong things.
Oh, that could be. Motivation is defined this way. It says, that which moves one toward an action, that which changes, provokes, or impels our very being, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes being provoked, right, that could come up with a negative connotation there.
Yeah, because when you're provoked, it is a source of motivation. Yeah. Because there's many sources of motivation. And you know, one of the things that I know we wanted to talk about is how do people get motivated towards going towards the deeper things of God? Because, you know, there's different motivations for different things. And so many of us realize that we're mostly lukewarm. And so in this lukewarmness, you know, what will motivate us to get on fire for God?
Yes.
Because if we were all, just think about it, if we were all on fire for God, it would be a different story in the world because Christians make a big difference.
Yes, yes. Well, one of the things with that, I mean, from the time that we were kids and growing up, depending on our parents and the people that were there, they motivated us, get out of bed and go to school and, you know, take a shower, eat your breakfast. Come on, get up, right? That was being motivated. But we didn't necessarily want to do that sort of thing, but we knew we had to, otherwise we'd have a consequence.
Okay, so pain.
That's the one. Sometimes
was
pain
the motivator.
Is motivated. Yes. Fear.
Fear
is the motivator.
And fear of pain.
Yeah. Exactly. I said, okay, I got to get up. Or fear of failure as you get older, knowing that if you don't make it to the class on time, you could fail. And especially when you get into those educational sense of college where they don't care whether you're there or not. If you're not there, you just get, you know,
right.
whatever.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Or everything prior to that, they usually try to motivate you to continue on so that you would be educated and receive some things that might help you.
And there's a whole discipline on motivation. It's called marketing. And marketing, they motivate you to buy a product that they sell.
Yes.
And they have manipulative ways that they do that to get you to do that. You bought that truck because. You buy that dress because.
Yeah.
And all the motivation that they have, they study us, and they know what makes us do what we do.
You know, I remember back in the day, I was a little older, wasn't in high school, but when Nike came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I bought those pair of Jordans.
Mm.
It didn't help my game. It didn't help my game. They wanted my shoes, but they didn't want my play.
You right? actually thought you were going to be like Mike.
Well,
he's
going to
be like Mike.
How often do do we do that sort of thing?
Sure.
And we sit there and say, okay, if I just purchase this or if I just have this, I should have all of this.
That's right.
Right?
That's
the deception. Those are the lies. We're easily deceived, especially if it doesn't cost us much.
Right.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah. When it costs more, then they have to apply more pressure.
Wait. Do you mean I can't just pay for this? You mean to be able to look buff, I've got to really take some action? I've got to not eat certain things, and I've got to do some of the things I don't necessarily desire to do?
And maybe I won't be like Mike after all.
Yeah, we'll let Mike be Mike.
Yeah. Yeah.
And go from there.
Yeah. And so manipulation and motivation, you know, they go hand in hand in a lot of ways because they're trying to move you towards a specific goal.
Yes.
And that's the key to and the external motivation is not a good thing. You know, a lot of people go to church for motivation. That's why some of the richest pastors are just like motivational speakers. I mean, really, you go to their church and they make you feel good and make you think, yes, rah, 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 yes, you can, you know. And it's like, it's no, you leave there, and by Tuesday, it'll last Monday,
but by
Tuesday, you're back in the same old rut you were in.
Yeah.
Because external motivation is not really what God wants to do to move us from lukewarmness to fire.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because in Psalm 40, verse 8, David wrote this. He said, I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Okay? So we're talking about an internal change to where actually, and in a sense, when we've, for those who have accepted Jesus not only as their Savior, but as their Lord, there was a change that took place right at that time. And we had become a new creation. We've asked him to forgive us of our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And we turned away and said we want to turn away from this lifestyle, whatever that is that we were living in, and decided to go 180 degrees
right.
from where we were at,
mm-hmm.
right? And as a result of that, there was a change.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that change gets, we get distracted. We get lured into, you know, looking another way. The lies come. Oh, I don't have to. I just have to do this. Hey, I've accepted Jesus. I have a Bible. I'm good to go. Now I'll just go and live my life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes that's the type of, because that's the easier, softer way.
Well, I don't have to change.
Yeah.
See, no, but change, you know, motivation is all there to get us to change from where we are to where we need to be.
Yeah.
You know, we always say, you know, Jesus loves you where you are, but he loves you enough not to leave you where you are.
Yes.
Because if he left you in sin, then it would be a worthless salvation. So the problem is that there's a twofold process to this salvation thing. And because first, it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is what? Lord.
Yes.
And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, a lot of people take the second part and say, yeah, I believe Jesus was raised from the dead and I can go to heaven and have a whole great life afterwards. But Jesus is not Lord of their life, because in order for God to be Lord of my life, something's got to change.
Yes.
I mean, there's got to be some change. If he is Lord of my life, because before we get saved, We are the Lord of our lives.
Right.
We don't say Lord, but we're the boss. You ain't the boss of me.
Yep.
You know, I'm the boss of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I determine what's right, what's wrong. I determine what I'm going to do and I'm not going to do.
Right.
My will be done on earth.
Right.
You know, and so when we say my will be done, then when Jesus comes and takes residence and takes over my life, then it's his will be done.
Yes.
Whoa, wait a second. Something's got to change. If I'm still doing the same things that I was doing before I got saved, then my will is still being done.
So really what it comes down to is that unless I notice that the things in my life, the decisions that I have been making, have not been, if there's nothing wrong with them, they've been favorable, the only reason I would accept Jesus would be for somebody else, not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want others to know that this is, hey, I'm on board, you know.
Or get out of hell free card.
If we think that there's such a thing, right? Which in some cases we would. We think, okay, all I have to do is just say yes.
Jesus died for my sins.
Once a week I can give it to him.
Yeah.
You know, I can come and listen to a preacher preach and sing and clap and hold my Bible and or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, play the part.
Yeah.
And yet, on other hand, what about those who actually do realize that, you know, I've made some horrible decisions. My life sucks. You know, I've been addicted to this, and I've been going down the wrong path. And every time I try to do something, it fails. And I want to accept Jesus because that sounds like that's hopeful for me. And all of a sudden, I go there, and I repented, and I asked for forgiveness. And I really meant it. And then all of a sudden, nothing, right? Or maybe it stays on fire for a little bit, but then all of a sudden, nothing. Because of what I see is that God designed us to be in his presence for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
That means continually, okay? And our preparation on this earth is getting prepared to get ready for that and to let others know of the opportunities to get to know him. And so that means that we're going to be surrounded by his glory, okay? And as a result of that, all right, the earth here, this is the realm that belongs to the enemy, the devil. This is his, right? And all the lures, the temptations in this world, we don't think of Jesus and be grateful to him 24/7. None of us do. We get inundated with everything around us. You talked about before, advertising and
marketing
and all of that sort of thing that actually lures us into the worldly thoughts,
mm-hmm.
like everybody else is saying, hey, if you buy this, if you wear that, if you go here, if you live like this, you make enough money to buy this, then you're going to have these kind of people in your life. That's what we are looking for. We're looking for comfort, are we not?
Oh, yeah. The comfort and convenience.
Yes.
We pay extra for that. I'm serious.
Our lives are very alive.
7-Eleven, you know, all these stores, convenience stores, they're open 24 hours a day. You can get out of your bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and go buy something.
Or you don't even have to get out of your bed. You can actually make a phone call and they'll deliver it to you.
That's right. Yeah.
You do Amazon.
That's right. It's convenient. It's comfortable. But, you know, the whole thing is that when we get saved, the Bible says we become a new creation because now we have the Spirit of God living inside of us.
Yes.
Now, here's the problem. He's living inside of you, but he is not going to take over your life unless you give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a relinquish. We have to relinquish our will to him because he's not going to wrestle us, beat us down, and take over.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the devil's way of doing things. That's not God's way of doing things. He wants to love us into changing.
Yes.
And so he comes into my life now, and I still have a choice. I can live for him or I can live for me.
Yes.
I can still do that after I get saved
mm-hmm.
because he has not taken over my decision making.
Yes.
And so until I give him that ability to do that, mm-hmm. I'm still going to do the same things that I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've got to realize is that we have to give our will, relinquish our will to his will. We have to line it up with his. We read the word of God to see what his will is because that's what Jesus had to do. Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done, Father.
Yes.
And so if Jesus says to turn his will over to God, you know that we have to do the same thing. But we don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because We're comfortable. It's uncomfortable to do that. It's not convenient to do that. He may send me to Africa.
And that's not one of the places I choose to go to.
No. He may get me out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. I may feel insecure. There's so much that I don't know, and I'm afraid. And the devil constantly bombards us with crazy stuff so that we don't say, yes, Lord, your will be done, and we don't. And it's just that easy. Yes, Lord, your will. What do you want for me, Lord? Yeah. You know, and because and it's a big step, because we used to run our own lives. Yes. And now we're saying, God, we can run it with you. You are running my life. I am a partner with you in running my life. Mm. It's a different deal.
You know, it's something that it requires on our part, not a willingness to allow the Lord to change us. Mm-hmm. We've got to be willing to say, okay, it's yours. Have your way with it.
And we got to be sick and tired of our old life. Well, if we're not sick and tired of our old life, we're not going to give it up.
Yeah.
Because, hey, it's still working for me.
Exactly.
I can still have my girlfriends. Yes. I can still have my thing. I mean, that's my comfort zone.
I can have more girlfriends because now I'm a Christian. Look at all the Christian girls out there, right? The ones I haven't been able to reach in the bars and everywhere. But now I can reach
I'll lead them to Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
No, it's true.
I know it's true.
And that's the sad thing.
Well, that's because of the deception and the lies that we believe, that we're still looking for our own comfort. So one of the things that I think that needs to change, not only in, it has to change in our mind first, and it gets to our heart, right? Matthew, we're going to take a break here, and then we're going to come back, but I just want to read this part. Matthew chapter 23, verse 11 and 12. This is Jesus talking. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So there's this thing called humility. Sometimes we don't even know anything about that. At least I didn't, because I knew what humiliation was, had a lot of that, but I didn't know anything about humility. Mm. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Does the enemy have you pinned down, caught in the crosshairs? There's always a way out. Fire an email to help@bandofbrothersradio.com and we'll offer a strategy.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com. You're changing my heart. Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and I tell you what, there's something about these breaks, especially with my co-host Felix, who's in the studio here with me. These breaks, sometimes he goes on and on. When he gets lit up, let me tell you, I'm just sitting here listening to him, and I'm going, man, don't, you're throwing it all out to me. Listen, wait a moment or two here, we'll get back on. I love it. But anyway. Here's where I want to read this, in also in Matthew, okay? And this is Jesus talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
When so often it seems like, and I think I've been there in the sense here, that I wanted to watch Jesus take up his cross, and I wanted to honor him and praise him for doing that to save me.
Right.
I didn't necessarily think about my cross.
Right. Exactly.
And that I had to die to self.
Yeah, what? Die to
self?
Didn't
he do that for me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he died to himself, but he didn't. You have to die to yourself.
Now, he took on all of our sins, even those that weren't around and everything, and took on the wrath of God, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
God was silent to him, and Jesus knew what he was getting into.
Yeah.
That's why he asked, would you take this cup for me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then he immediately realized that, no, he's got to go through this. This is part of what is necessary.
That's
okay? And yet, he too was tempted because of the flesh, his weakness, to say, no, will you please take the cup from me?
Yeah. Easy way out.
Comfort. We do the same thing,
mm-hmm.
except we stay with it sometimes.
Yeah.
Because when it starts to get rough and it starts to get tough, when all of a sudden we realize, wait a minute here, I accepted Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
How come things aren't, I mean, they're better. I got some new friends.
Right.
You know, but my life isn't really that much better.
No.
If anything, it's gotten worse.
Yeah. And so we realize that, well, what did I sign up for in this whole deal? Because I want all the good and I don't want any of the bad. I don't want any pain. I don't want anything that's negative in my life. I want to have all the best of God. And God says, well, sometimes, you know, you have to fight for those things. Sometimes you have to shed some of yourself to get where you need to be and say, we don't want to change. Change is not something we look forward to. Nobody does. You know, I mean, and one of the greatest things we need to learn is to embrace change, because change is inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't embrace it, it'll take you out.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing of change and moving from glory to glory, mm-hmm. and going from mediocre to lukewarm to fire,
yes.
you know, and the spiritual growth is part of what we're supposed to do. We're not
right.
supposed to, when God saves us, that's not the last thing he does. That's mm-hmm. the first thing he's mm-hmm. doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to do something in my life every day if I allow him to.
Yes.
But if I'm running my life, if I'm making the decisions, guess who can't? He can't. And he can't lead me if I'm leading me. And so I've got to learn to turn my life over to him and say, God, you have the way. And it's not just a matter of turning it over and sitting back and doing nothing. No, it's reading the word. It's getting inspired by him, because he'll speak to you. He'll talk to you. He'll tell you how to do, how to give your life away. Because the new life we have is to give it away. It's really
so what you're telling me is that in some cases when I sit there and think that, yes, this isn't what I signed up for. There must be some fine print somewhere.
Mm.
That fine print is
the Bible.
66 books
mm-hmm.
together called yeah. the Bible.
It's fine. And it's print.
Yes. And you can find it in many translations so that you would be able to understand
yeah.
and be able to receive
it.
Oh,
yeah.
But the simple fact is that our ego and our pride get in the way, and our desire, for comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And being a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, it doesn't say anywhere in there that you're going to be comforted.
No. Well, here's what it says. It says we will get a comforter.
Yes.
See,
yes.
a comforter.
Yes.
That's inside of us. We have the comforter.
Yes.
He has
yes.
the comfort zone.
Yes.
But
yes.
we don't want to live in his comfort zone. His comfort zone's a little different than our comfort zone.
It's the one we need to strive for.
That's what we're supposed to live for, because
right.
he coming into our lives knows what we need to do, knows what we need to say, knows where we need to go. He has the answers, but his comfort zone is not our comfort zone. He's comfortable everywhere and anywhere with anybody. He has no fear.
Mm-hmm.
We operate on fear.
Yes, and that's basically because we don't have enough Jesus in us
yeah,
sometimes.
Because okay. perfect love casts out all fear.
That's it.
We don't have his perfect love.
And so with that, that thought of sitting there and thinking that, okay, I'm going to go back. I didn't sign up for this. I don't want to have to. I've got now more storms in my life than I ever did before. Has a tendency of taking place after those who say, I'm willing to accept Jesus not only as my Savior, but as my Lord. And I keep using that because it's a two-part thing. Yes, he will save you if you ask, okay? But we need to say, Lord, I want you to just manage my life.
Yeah.
That's really what it means to be, you know, for him to be my Lord.
Right.
That means I'm going to go to him and ask him on everything. Is this a good time for me to eat right now? Should I eat this kind of food or should I eat a different kind of food?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some guy sit there and say, what are you talking about? No, seriously.
Yeah.
The more often that I'm conscious and acknowledge the Lord in my life, he loves that, because that's what we're designed to do,
yeah.
right? For eternity.
Mm-hmm.
We're, we are, we are, we are blessed by being a spirit. The Spirit of God lives within us. We are spirit. We're flesh, man, and that's a part that actually that battles the spirit all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God, that's why we have that inside us. No, don't go there. You know that you shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. You know that. And we don't pay attention to that because we know that if we go there, that might give us some comfort, give right. us some desires of our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the battles that take place on a daily basis.
Yeah. I believe that he is, you know, his whole objective is to get us to be like him. And when we die and go to heaven, we will be like him. But the process is that God wants us to be so close to him and him to us that we don't no longer have to ask him what his will is. We just do it naturally. We Yes. do it automatically because we love what he loves and hate what he hates. And so our actions, our behavior, our thoughts are all enveloped in the Word of God. Yes. And so that's what he wants. He doesn't want us to have to check in with him to what we the best place for me to be is not to have to check in to him to what I want to eat, but know what he wants me to eat.
Yes.
And do that out of obedience because yes. I know what he wants and I know what he says. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading his word. I'm studying. I'm spending time with him.
Yes.
Him and I are one. And that's what he wants. You know, we're so distant from him. He wants us to be like him.
And so often, and which is all correct in everything you're talking about, but one that kind of goes with it too, that we have a tendency of forgetting about, or maybe there's a part of you that just doesn't want to be involved in that sort of thing. It's called fellowship.
Mm.
You have to be in fellowship with others.
Mm-hmm.
For if not, there's many reasons for it, but one of the reasons is that we're called to care for others yeah. more than ourselves.
Yeah.
So how are you going to know if somebody needs help in, or maybe even assistance in being prayed for, of being encouraged, of saying, hey, man, you can get through this. I've been through this myself. You can get through this. This is what I had to do. To be able to exhort somebody else, to be able to give them hope, you have to be in fellowship.
Right.
And that is so, so important. And yet a lot of us say, hey, I've got my Bible, I've got Jesus, I talk to him, and I get him, I, you know, don't need nothing else.
Yeah, no, that's big
deceived.
Error.
Oh,
big
we'd error. Be deceived so quickly.
If Jesus did that, he'd have just lived his life for himself, and he wouldn't have lived it for us. This saved life is to live for other people,
mm-hmm.
you know? We're doing this broadcast for other people.
Yes.
We're doing everything that we should do should have ramifications for other people. You know, first we start with our wives, then we start to go with our kids, and then we go to our external family, and then we go to the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to live this life for other people, and that's what God wants.
Yes.
I want to live for me.
Yes.
Selfish, self-centered, yes. ego-driven, you know, pride. That's what I am. That's my running my life. But God, Jesus said, you know, Jesus said in Hebrews, the reason why he went to the cross was the joy that was set before him that he saw us all being saved.
Yes.
And that motivated him to go through the cross, the pain, the agony, the rejection, and all that he had to go through for us. He saw the ramifications of it. He saw the fruit of it. He said, yes, mm-hmm. this is worthy of my sacrifice. And so we've got to take our eyes off ourselves. You know, we're much too selfish and self-centered. And God has a better life for us, much better.
Yes. The Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians in chapter 2, he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. And we have a tendency of not going there very often.
Mm.
We just... There's something about being able to give away what you've been given.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he reminds us in 2 Corinthians that the comfort that he gives us,
mm-hmm.
that we give that comfort to others.
Because
mm-hmm. he gave it to us so yeah. that we can let them know, this comes from the Lord. This is what he did for me, and he will do for you.
Yeah.
And in doing so, you're giving hope to another individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. there's something that takes place in all of this, and actually, we should go ahead and take our second break, and then we can be over with it, and then I can let you just rage on this sort of thing and not have to worry about any more disconnects. But the simple fact is that there are certain things that we have to do as followers of Christ and be willing to accept, because it's all part of the growth and the change that needs to take place within us.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about those sort of things as soon as we come back. We'll take this last break. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven, or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote, 360-312-9524, or visit their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. caneslawnandgarden.com.
Come on.
Welcome back. Okay, Felix, you know, part of this deal with, and I call it a deal, this situation, it's not really a deal, the situation that we end up saying, Lord, I want you to save me. He is my Savior. He pulled me out of the muck and mire and shook me off and stuck me on the rock of Jesus, okay? And as a result of that, I should desire to know him more, because those that I listened to, those who talked about it, said I have to seek to do his will in my life. And part of that, his will, is going through what's known as sanctification, where we're set apart from everything else and everybody else. Okay? That's part of the salvation, what ends up taking place, that we actually have to go through and be cleaned up, in a sense, refined, sharpened, okay, molded, okay? And that sanctification can be challenging, couldn't it?
Challenging.
To put it lightly,
yes. Life-changing.
Yes, and it requires that we actually, God allows certain things to take place in our lives, not to punish us, but they're there to, we have to look at them a different way. If we look at them the way that we would have before we were followers of Christ, then we'll look at it as we're being punished.
Right.
If we look at it as, you know, he is one that tells us in his word that he disciplines us because he loves us.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, my dad used to do that all the time with me and my brother. He'd spank and said, this is for your own good.
This hurts
me more than it hurts you.
Lies.
You know, and I sat there, I said, Dad, then stop hurting yourself.
Give yourself a break.
Then he hits harder on the next belt.
The
point being is that the Lord truly does. He wants us to get it.
Yeah.
Because he knows what's in store for us. That means that we're in the midst of a daily battle.
Oh, yeah.
And if we're not prepared for it, if you don't go through the training, if you're not being strengthened, if you're not being equipped, okay, you're going to fail, and then you're going to end up having – you're going to have that three steps forward and six back type of thing, right?
Yeah, and the biggest problem is that our lives, we're either bipolar. Somebody said, I'm a bipolar Christian. I said, what does that mean? He says, you know, when I'm hot, I'm hot, and when I'm cold, I'm cold. It's like, dude, you know. But what we do is we leave God out of certain parts of our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, we compartmentalize our Christianity, you know, because I meet guys and I'll say, you know, he said, oh, man, I met this beautiful girl. You know, we've been dating for 6 months. Oh, is she a believer? I don't know. Say what? Yeah, I don't know. I've never asked her. 6 months you've been. What have you been talking about? Yeah. And God's not in it.
Yeah.
God is not in it.
Exactly.
Some of that is in our marriages. Mm-hmm. God's not in it. Some is our home. God's not in it. Our workplace. God's not in it. Our school. God's not in it. So how can you get the wisdom of God to operate in those places when God is nowhere to be found?
Yes.
You know, when I talked to that person that we were talking about his marriage, you know, and you know, it's like they are in a battle of ego, pride, and stuff that they know if they took a step back. I think he told me, he said, well, brother, one day I was repenting and I got with God and I bought some bucket and I was going to wash my wife's feet. I got home and we started talking and then we started arguing and I threw that bucket and that water away. Now, where was God? You know, God was with him when he was thinking about washing her feet. But when he got home, God was nowhere there.
Yeah.
And so God's will could not be done where God is not present. And so we've got to put God in every area of our lives so that he can have dominion and we can have the kind of life that God wants us to have.
So truly, it's not about God making it easy for us to do these things. He wants us to have to be willing to allow him. It's his power.
Because we have to die.
That's it. We have to get out of the way.
Yeah.
And his power is the one that comes through.
Right.
It's him coming and coming into your home to wash your wife's feet, not you. It's him that's doing it. He's using you. So when she is upset or doesn't say, well, no, I'm not going to have you do any of that. That's when you've got to get out of the way.
Yeah, the peace of God.
The peace of God comes through and says, you know, swear, I know that you've had a rough day, but the Lord just wanted me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted me to wash your feet, let you know how much that I love you, how much he loves you.
Right.
And I want to be here for him as a spokesman for him.
But when she comes with the flesh and you come with the flesh,
then all of a sudden, there's no God in the middle of that.
No God in that. No God. You've got to be in the Spirit. And that's walking in the Spirit is what that's all about, letting the Holy Spirit that's in us rule and reign in our lives.
But so often we get caught up as the men. We sit there and say, I can't do that, though. I can't do that. You're right. You can't. It's God that has to do it. And if you don't let him do that through you, you're going to fail because you're going to be trying to do it. And when you do it, it's not going to work.
Nope.
Now, what does that look like? Well, brother, I tell you what, that's where we practice over. That's why you get together with other brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You hear their experiences. How do you guys love your wives like Christ loves the church?
Yeah.
What does that look like for? And you ask that around the table. It doesn't have to be a bunch of guys. You can just have like four other guys, you know, you get together as a Bible study. Can we talk about this? How do you guys love your wives? What does that mean? You know? Now, I'm going to tell you, when you start doing that sort of thing, you gather together and you pray together, the Holy Spirit is present. He reminds us that we're two or more are gathered in his name. He is there amongst us. So in doing so, we trust in him.
Mm-hmm.
That's so key, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We talk about faith. It's really the trust and knowing that God is there for us, being totally dependent upon him. You know, I'll never forget when God broke me of my problem with my wife. And she said something and I started growling and got mad at her. And the Holy Spirit grabbed me, took me in the room. I got on my knees and I cried out to him. And he said, listen, Felix, this is your pride and your ego. Anytime somebody, especially your wife or your children, come up with a problem that you can't solve, your pride and your ego gets mad and you lash out at them. He said, that's not me. And so he broke me of that because he exposed it as what it is. I went and I repented to my wife. Mm-hmm. And from then on, it changed me because I submitted to him. And we've got to submit ourselves to him. We are not qualified to run our lives after we are saved. Yeah. Definitely not before, but after we have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us live our lives successfully. Yes. But we can't do it if we still want to be in control.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think of when about being motivated and everything. Can you imagine if you were a disciple? One of those disciples that was with Jesus. No, that was there with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he motivated them. He was telling them the truth. He was teaching them so that they would be equipped to be able to tell others. Mm-hmm. He even got on their case. He put them in situations where they were in the midst of a storm thinking that they're going to die. And all he wanted was for them to trust in him, mm-hmm. acknowledge him. He wanted them to believe. See, even after Jesus had fed the 5,000, right? And then he went off to go be refilled with and refreshed with God, okay? And then the disciples went across the lake, right? Mm-hmm. And they're rowing away, and all of a sudden the storm starts up, right? And what takes place is that you see their humanness, mm-hmm. that they're terrified. They're thinking they're going to die. Look at these waves. Sure. Look at this storm. What's going on? Then all of a sudden, there's something out there on the water.
Is
and one of the
ghost?
Gospels, a ghost? They're terrified. Oh, my God. You know? And then all of a sudden, as they got closer, they realized it was Jesus. It's Jesus. Look, it's Jesus. And they're starting to call Jesus, come on in the boat.
Yeah,
come
on. Before you drown.
He's going to save us. He's going to save us. Mm-hmm. But see, what Jesus wanted and what he wants us to get in our heart is to realize that he wants us to have him with us all the time,
yeah.
to realize that he is there, to acknowledge his presence in us,
yeah.
that we don't just call him or pull him off like I used to. I used the analogy of a fire extinguisher in the mm-hmm. wall, right? Mm-hmm. Got a fire going on. I break the glass, grab the fire extinguisher, put it out, then put it back on the shelf. I'll get you back next time I need you,
right?
Do the same thing with Jesus.
Sure.
And that's not what he wants.
No.
He wants us to acknowledge him in everything that you shared about before.
24/7, 365.
Now, are we going to accomplish that? No, we're human. We're going to fail at that. But you know what? We are to strive to do that.
That's our goal.
Yes. Just as he says, hey, be holy as I am holy, mm-hmm. right? Be perfect as I am perfect.
Right.
We're not going to reach those things, but those are the things we need to be striving for. And the more that we do that, and the more that we share that with others, because that's what we're supposed to be doing, mm-hmm. seeking him above all things, first and foremost, above everything, even your children, even your wife, even your parents, everybody. It needs to be him first.
Yep.
And when it's him first, and then when you start helping others, loving them as you love yourself.
Yeah, and that's key.
You do those two things, mm-hmm. you got it all covered.
Yeah.
And that's difficult to do.
Yeah, because a lot of people think they can love God without loving people. That's the biggest fallacy going. I mean, you can't love God. John, in 1 John, it says, you know, if you say you love God and you don't love your brother, you're a liar.
Yes.
So we have to realize part of this whole love affair is to love God, get his love, and give his love away to other people. And so that, and it's, if we just grab a hold of his love and just take it in and just get fat and happy with God's love without giving it away, after a while, it's sort of like the manna that the Israelites had, that the manna came and it was no good after one day because you didn't use it. And so if we don't give God's love away, what good is getting God's love?
Right.
A lot of us want to be loved by God, but we don't want to be lovers like God. So it's a challenge. And that's what, when we talk about striving, that's what we're striving. We're striving against our flesh, against our old nature, so that we can die and we can live again. You can't live until you die. And so many of us want to live in Christ, but we don't want to die. And dying, because dying is hard. Dying is not comfortable. Dying is not convenient. Dying is not easy. But you know what? The Holy Spirit makes it very possible for us to be able to have the full life that God has for us. And it's only when we submit our will to God and be obedient to the Word of God, are we able to be who we're supposed to be?
Yes. And this has nothing to do with our successes on this earth, okay? It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter who you're married to. It doesn't matter whether you own a home or not, or if you own many homes. All of that does not matter. What's important is that we get to that place of being willing to allow God to change us, okay? I think the key in the motivation of being motivated is to actually be humble and allowing Him, trusting in Him. That's the only way you're going to allow it, trusting in Him and what His Word says, and what you hear others saying, what Jesus is doing in their lives, so that you may stand back and say, okay, Lord, this is yours. Have your way with me. And in doing so, you're going to allow yourself to be manipulated, molded, created, things taken away that aren't necessary and things brought in that are necessary that you thought would not even apply in your life, all of a sudden now do.
Yeah.
And now you're going to be realized that you're a new creation
in
Christ.
That's right.
Each and every day.
And you can enjoy it.
Yes. Mm. Because you're going to sit there and go, wow, I never would have thought that this would have happened.
Right.
Those are the miracles. And then now you have the opportunity to be able to share that with someone else.
Right.
Because in doing so, that is going to motivate them.
Yeah.
So I tell you what, we go on and talk and talk and talk about this sort of thing.
It's very important and very critical because there's so many of us that are living beneath our privilege.
Yes.
Living the old life in when we could be living the new life that He has for us.
Yes.
We just have to hate the old life and grab a hold of the new life, because until we hate our old life, we'll still use it. So I just pray today that we will be able to see the old life as the enemy of our soul and seek the new life that Christ has put in us. Because we're believers, but we need to fulfill our role in this world so that we can help other people come to the newness of life that God has for them too. Because we can't give away what we don't have. And until we get that fullness of our salvation, which is the Lordship of Christ, will we die to self, will we be able to live for Him. So I bless you. I thank you for listening, and live for Jesus.